Good morning, everyone. Risers to order. It's 8:30 in the community center. Sierra Room, may I have a roll call, please?
Supervisor Giomi?
Here.
Supervisor Bonkowski?
Here.
Supervisor Barrett?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Bagwell?
Here.
And Mayor Kroll?
Thank you. A quorum is present. I don't see Pastor Pat. We'll go ahead then, and for the invocation, if everyone will just do a prayer. I'm not going to call on him to do. He can do the pledge for us next, but if we'll just take a moment to reflect on all the good things in your life. Okay. Mr. Sandage, would you do us the honor of leading the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. We're on public comments, so anyone that's in the public that would like to come to discuss any topic that is relevant to or within our authority, please come forward and state your name for the record, and we have a sign-in form. If you'd there you go. Thank you, Ms. Tingle.
For the record, Hope Tingle. And I'm here to thank the board for going outside of their budget cycle and approving the traffic unit for Carson City Sheriff's Office. I had the occasion to be walking in front of the Boys and Girls Club the other day with my new dog, standing at the crosswalk waiting to cross, and there was an individual who I could tell was not going to stop to let me cross the street, even though I was at the crosswalk. And he was doing, let's say, above the speed limit, going rather fast. And while I appreciate the fact that Highway 50 has become a very problematic corridor for Carson City, I worry about Northridge Drive, especially in front of the Boys and Girls Club, with the speed of the traffic, and I'm not the only one that has noticed that. When I walk, a lot of people comment to me about how dangerous it is and how unsafe they feel on that corridor, and I know the sheriff has heard from some folks, mainly me, but anyway, I did want to say thank you for at least putting that traffic unit in place, and shouldn't be a surprise that it was necessary, or that with the increased population, there's going to be increased traffic and increased problems. So,
thank you, Ms. Tingle. Is there any further public comment? Okay, then we will move on to approval of the minutes of November 7th. Are there corrections to the minutes? You can do it.
I move to approve the minutes of the Carson City Board of Supervisors for November 7th, 2019, with a previously submitted correction to page 15.
Second.
There's a motion and a second to approve the minutes as submitted with a correction on page 15. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. We're now going to move on to item 8A, which is the presentation of length of service certificates for our wonderful city employees. So if you guys would join me. Okay, we're on now. Okay. So we're going to start with this. Oh, we're going to start with the uniform. Okay, Christopher Lotz, are you here today? Wonderful. So Christopher is a deputy sheriff with 5 years of service, and we just can't thank you enough for that. And do we have 20, 25, 30 more?
Sure.
You heard it here, right? Sure. Thank you so much for your service, and would you please join us for a picture? Okay, how about Deborah Fong? Deborah has got 10 years with us, and she's a civil engineer and designer. And so, Deborah, 10 for you, so only 20 more?
A couple.
We're going downhill. Well, I got a better answer out of him. Thank you so much for your service.
Thank you.
Okay, we're going to move on. Carol Hill? There she is. And Carol is an office specialist with us. Which department? With the fire department. Okay. Wow, 15, so 15. Come on, how many more?
We'll try for 5.
10.
Give it up a little bit more. Thank you so much for all your good work. We really appreciate. Oh, wait a minute. Do you bill for Medicaid, things like that? Are you a biller in the fire department?
Not really anymore. We outsource the billing. I get reports ready.
Well, that's okay. It's important because the fire department has been rocking it on the Medicaid billing. So thank you. Thank you so much. Okay. How about William Richards with the sergeant? And 20 years. Wow, that's an accomplishment. I can't thank you enough, sincerely. And how about, are we on sheriff's stay here? How about Brian Mays? And Brian is a sergeant that's also got 20 years in. And I know you only have to do 5 more, but 10, 20? 5. I'm not getting it here. Okay. And, wow, and Wendy Yang, the judicial assistant. I know you guys aren't going to believe this. 25 years. Let's give her another hand for that. Huh? 25 years. Thank you so much for your service. And I would have never guessed 25 years. So is there family, too, that would like to come up and take a picture, or other employees or anyone that wants to take a picture with us all? Because we'd really love it for you to join us. Oh, not you. Okay. Does anyone on the board or the city manager have any changes for the anything out of order? Anybody need a different timing for the audience?
No.
No? So if there's no objection, then we'll just continue on with the agenda as published. Thank you. Okay, we're now on to our consent agenda. Does anyone, member of the board, like something pulled? Anyone from the audience like something from the consent agenda pulled? Okay, I'll accept a motion on the consent agenda.
I move to approve the consent agenda consisting of items 9 and 10.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to approve the consent agenda consisting of item 9A or 9 and 10. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carried. So we have no items for number 11, as we used to prove that. We're on item 12A, which is a possible action and discussion on a non-exclusive easement agreement between the State of Nevada, Division of State Lands in Carson City, for a non-exclusive easement for the maintenance on South Curry Street. Mr. Stuckey.
Yeah, good morning, Board. Dan Stuckey, City Engineer, for the record. I wanted to start out this by taking this opportunity to introduce our new real property manager, Corey Klein. Corey comes with about 18 years of experience in the private sector working for an engineering firm locally in Northern Nevada. He has been a licensed land surveyor for 12 years. So he brings that expertise into our real property group. So we're really happy to have him. He just started last week, so we're starting to pile on the workload for him. He stayed around, so we're happy to have him, and I wanted to give the opportunity to introduce him to you.
Welcome, Corey.
So this item, as Supervisor Bagwell mentioned, this is non-exclusive easement for a section of South Curry Street near the Railroad Museum. This is kind of was initiated by the state as kind of a cleanup process on their end. So I wanted to report that it is a no-fee easement. I know in the past they have charged us pretty substantially for some of our easements. We were able to get a no-fee easement on this because it's serving the public access and the benefit of the public. So again, it will allow us to maintain this road as we have in the past. That's the summary of this item.
Okay. Anyone have any questions? Is there any public comment on this item? Okay, I'll accept a motion on item 12A then.
I move to approve the agreement as presented.
Second. I have a motion and a second to approve the agreement as presented. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carried. We will move on to item 12B, which is another easement for some storm drain pipes that are located at the Department of Motor Vehicle Headquarters. Mr. Stuckey.
Thank you. Again, Dan Stuckey for the record. I think you probably all remembered last spring and summer we constructed the storm drain improvements across the DMV parking lot, and that was a coordinated project with the state. This is just finalizing to secure those easements so we can maintain or repair those pipes in the future.
Any questions of Mr. Stuckey? Any public comment on this item? Denny, please state your name for the record and sign in on it.
Denny French, Carson City, Nevada. Supervisors, Chair Bagwell, excuse me. Why does this happen? Anyhow, my considerations are when I walked across that DMV parking, especially under times where there's snow and water, the drainage is very difficult for a person on foot just to navigate from one section across a small easement roadway and then to the parking closest to the structure. You really have to navigate it with maybe a pilot's license. It's quite active. And as such, since I normally try not to wear anything higher than a regular tennis shoe or a walking shoe, I can't make it without having my socks soaked. So just like to consider whatever has to be done in the future, have somebody out there during the worst of weather to take a look at how it's performing. And I think there's some room for improvement. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Is there any further public comment? Okay, accept a motion on the item.
I move to approve the non-exclusive easement agreement as presented.
There's a motion and a second to approve the non-exclusive agreement as presented. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say no. Motion carries.
Thank you.
We're going to move on to the next page. Item 13A, which is for possible action and discussion regarding the contract on our landfill entrance and facility design with Tetra Tech. Mr. Stuckey, are you going to start this one off?
Yes, I will. Thank you. Dan Stuckey, City Engineer, for the record. So I'll give a little background on this. As you mentioned, Supervisor Bagwell, this is for design services at the landfill with Tetra Tech. We did advertise a competitive RF request for qualifications earlier this year. Tetra Tech was selected. This is what they do. They're a powerhouse in landfill design. They do it all over the country. So we've selected them. I do want to point out we had an earlier, much smaller contract with them because there's multiple things we want to do at the landfill, and they all kind of build, these projects build off each other. So we wanted to do kind of a master plan, very conceptual level design. So we hired them for that. They've done that. Now we're moving forward with specific design services on kind of phase one of the plans out there, and that's to address the scale house as well as a realignment of the entrance road there to allow operations to do to perform better at the landfill. So that'll be kind of phase one, and that's what they're addressing with this contract. So I did want to specifically point that out. With that, I'd be happy to answer any questions. I also have the landfill lead operations manager, Rick Cooley, with me.
Does anyone have any questions? Supervisor Giomi?
Dan, I just, so this is design only, not construction, not preliminary site work, not, does that amount seem, it seems high to me, and I just wonder what your thought is on that.
Yeah, so just so you know, this is about the third iteration. I mean, there was a lot of back and forth, and the amount that you see today is, I guess, about $170,000. We estimate that the construction of this phase one is about 1.3-ish. 1.2, 1.3 million. So when you break it out as a percentage of that, it's right in the ballpark of what you anticipate for design. So it's a big project. You're right, it's a big dollar amount for design, but it's also a fairly big construction project as well. So there's been multiple iterations. We feel that this is a fair and reasonable price.
And when do you anticipate coming to us for construction component?
Rick Cooley, operations manager. Next summer is what we're looking for. That's main reason why we got them started on some preliminary stuff so we can get going. We wanted to get out in the spring, but it'll probably be more like summertime before we can get it out.
All right. Thank you.
Supervisor Bonkowski.
Yeah, I saw that number and thought it looked high too, but then I looked and saw that our own engineer's estimate was $178,000. So, I mean, obviously we're not going to overestimate on our side. Rick, I have a question for you. In the redesign, when you're entering the landfill, I think right now there's a camera that shows the loads that people bring in, but I think there's only one camera. Is there going to be a design that where we have maybe a better view of what's being brought in so that the person in the office can get a better view of what's actually being brought into the landfill rather than just relying on the driver of the vehicle? Because I know right now that materials are being brought in that maybe aren't being disclosed, so then we're not maybe charging right or directing them to the right part of the landfill.
Yes, you are correct. And that one camera, that's really what that's for. It's a PTZ to where you can actually zoom in on what's in their load. We run into a lot of things that are hidden and other issues. But in the new configuration, we'll have those and some others. It'll be on the inbound and outbound, along with some license plate reader cameras to be able to automate some of our functions, what we're looking to do.
Any further questions? Okay. Is there any public comment on this item? Okay, ready for a motion?
I move to approve the contract as presented.
I have a motion and a second to approve the contract as presented. Is there any further discussion? Okay, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carried. Thank you, Steph. Okay. We're going to move on to Agenda 14A, which is for possible action and discussion on the Open Space Advisory Committee's recommendation for naming the HAM property, right? Eagles View Open Space. Ms. Bollinger.
Thank you. Good morning. Ann Bollinger, Open Space Administrator, for the record. Yes, this item in front of you is to hopefully accept the recommendation from the Open Space Advisory to name one of our recent acquisitions, 206 acres, located between Ash Canyon on the south, BC Canyon on the north, near the Timberline subdivision, as Eagles View Open Space. We did publicize a survey for the public, in which we had 143 respondents, which I thought was amazing. During that survey, there was a different name that was selected. For the survey, staff identified three names for the public to vote on, as well as the opportunity to submit nominations. The most common name in that survey was Eagle Ridge, but at the Open Space Advisory Committee, the discussion stated that Ridge isn't quite the topographic significance of the property, but Eagles View would be. So that is the name that they submitted forward. And in your packet are other names from the public, and some of them were quite creative as well. Thank you. Do you have any questions?
Is there any questions for Ms. Bollinger? Mr. Giomi?
Yeah, I had a chuckle at some of the, they were very creative names. I find the possessive awkward. That's just my opinion. Eagles View Open Space seems awkward to me to say. I think Eagle View Open Space, I just prefer that better. It looked as though in the initial you had it as non-possessive, and then somehow when you changed it from Eagle Ridge to View, it became possessive. So was there a thought given to that, or was it just the way things landed? No pun intended.
Yeah,
or maybe pun intended.
You know, it probably really could go either way, and I'm looking at two of the comments submitted by the public as well, and they had the possessive in there, so perhaps that was the reason for moving forward. But either would still be acceptable.
No questions or comments? Is there any public comment on this item? Okay. Bring it. Here for a motion?
I move to name the open space acquisition as Eagle View Open Space.
There's a motion and a second to name the open space acquisition as Eagle View Open Space. Any further discussion?
Yeah, I'll just add that it seems to me it's Eagle Valley, so that's what, but it doesn't matter. You know,
we're okay either way.
Call it what we want.
It's amazing. Sometimes the discussion on something that seems so simple.
Nothing simple. Okay.
We're simple people.
same thing with the Open Space Advisory Committee.
Okay. We have a motion on the table. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay. Eagle View Open Space it is. Thank you, Ms. Bollinger. Okay. We're going to move on to item 14B, which is to possible action and discussion on a grant for our rifle range, Ms. Budge, yay.
Thank you, Supervisors. Jennifer Budge, Parks and Recreation Director. I'm very happy to come here with some positive and exciting news on the rifle range. I think we've all been waiting for this, so this is great. For your consideration today is a $143,227 grant with a cash match of approximately $47,000 that would come from the capital improvement program budget that was authorized as part of the budget process last year. As you know, the board allocated $125,000 from capital improvement program funds, $125,000 from quality of life funds identified to try to leverage what we could for a grant match. So that's where that funding source would come from. It would fund, recently we've spent $47,000 on engineering and design in anticipation of applying for some grants and doing some improvements out at the range. So the design that we prepared is obviously the plan set for this project, and it'll fund removing the concrete target lines on the long range. It'll also fund the facility signage, so all of the roads that lead, there's many, many, many roads out there will have carcinite signage. We'll have increased compliance signage that were in our range evaluation recommendations that the NRA and our private consultant had, so that will address those issues, and it'll also resolve all the issues with the shooting bays. It'll improve drainage. It'll get the backstops and the lateral berms up to the minimum recommended standard by the NRA, and get all of that handled. The project is already out to bid. We know everybody was anxious, and based on the direction at the last board meeting at the city manager's update, we did put out the base bid is for the shooting bays and the long range, and then the alternate is for the short range. So then we'll come back to the December 2nd meeting for your consideration and looking at the available funds that you already allocated for the range, the grant, and, considering all things, if there's other funding available to try to do additional work at the range. So the project went out to bid on November 18th. Bids are due on the 17th, or on the 7th. And then we have a, you know, 5-day appeal period, and then we give another 5 days. So if there are appeals, for staff to be able to review that. And then with the holidays, we didn't want to create any issues with timing with contractors not putting in with that appeal period. So that's sort of the reasoning behind the timing on that. And then I'm happy to answer any questions on the grant. You have a copy of the grant manual in your packet. And upon your consideration, I'd be authorized to sign all the documents so we can move things a little bit quicker.
So I think just one of the things I'd like to put on the record so the public is aware, upon the completion of this work that we're putting out to bid, the intention is we'll be able to open the range 6 days a week. We're still planning on the Monday as the one closure day. I just would like that out on the record as our plan, because obviously there's a bunch of interest in the community.
Sure, and I apologize for not bringing that up, but everybody's goal here, including ours, is to get increased public opportunities at the range happening. So whether we award only the bays or the long range or all of the range, whatever's improved will increase the public opportunities. So we'll be able to open those areas when the landfill is open. So that's definitely the goal here.
Thank you. Mr. Giomi.
Jen, how much of the allocated money in your budget is left? So of the various sources, do you know that offhand? And it's so 47,000 is going roughly to this, and 47,000 went to design, and you're going to tell me it's in my packet and I should.
Yeah, so and I had to look because you don't want me to do math on the fly. It's not good.
Never mind. I got it.
Yeah, if you look at that fiscal impact, so we have about 202,000 approximately remaining to be able to be utilized, you know, toward other improvements at the range.
Perfect. Thank you.
Any other questions, Ms. Buck?
Just one, and I think I just am confused. You said the second meeting of December. You didn't say December 2nd, because that's a Monday.
Do you mean for bringing the bid back?
For when you bring it in December.
It's the first meeting in December. So we'll be here.
Okay, so that'd be...
January, I apologize. I'm getting when the bids are due and the board meeting mixed up. I apologize.
Yeah. Just trying to clear up my own confusion, not your fault.
No, I appreciate the clarification.
Okay. Is there any public comment on this item? Okay, I'll accept a motion. Yeah, probably.
I move to authorize acceptance of the grant as presented and to authorize the Parks and Recreation Director to sign grant documents related to the project.
Second. I have a motion and a second to authorize the acceptance of the grant and to authorize the Park and Rec Director to sign the grant documents. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Ms. Budge, and thank all your staff for their hard work on this project. Okay. We're going to move on to item 15B. Mr. Giomi, please give a disclosure. Oh, A. I guess I wanted to just skip A. I already put a check mark. That doesn't work. Okay. We'll go on to item 15A. Thank you. Discussion and possible action regarding a final subdivision map known as Sierra Skyways, Inc., Phase 1. Ms. Ferris?
Thank you. Heather Ferris, Associate Planner for the record. This is a request for a final subdivision map for the first phase of Sierra Skyways Hangar Condominiums. The Board of Supervisors approved the tentative map at their October 18th, 2018 meeting. The tentative map includes a total of 18 condo hangar units in three phases. The subject parcel is located in the northern part of the airport, approximately 1,000 feet south of Arrowhead Drive. Phase one includes six hangars and two common areas. The Phase 1 hangars and associated site improvements have been completed. Staff has found that the developer has met all of the conditions of approval and is recommending approval of the final map. And I'm available for questions.
Any questions of Ms. Harris? Is there any public comment on this item? Okay, I'll take a motion.
I move to approve a final subdivision map known as Sierra Skyways, Inc., Phase 1, which fully complies with all the conditions of approval of tentative subdivision map TSM-18-123, pursuant to the requirements of Carson City Municipal Code.
I have a motion and a second to approve the final subdivision map known as Sierra Skyways, Inc. Is there any, phase one? Is there any other discussion? Okay, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carried. Thank you. We're going to try 15B now, which just on a second reading on an ordinance, and I believe Mr. Giomi has a disclosure.
I do. NRS 281A420 requires me to disclose a conflict of interest and abstain from voting when I have a disqualifying conflict. In my private commitment, I'm employed by Nevada Health Centers, a nonprofit organization where I oversee land purchases. In that capacity, I have negotiated on behalf of Nevada Health Centers the purchase of a parcel owned by Research Investments, LLC, and that transaction is currently in escrow. It is my understanding that Roger Shaheen is a corporate officer of Research Investments and also listed as the manager of Sierra Skies, which is the applicant for the zoning ordinance. Because of this relationship, I believe I have a disqualifying conflict, and therefore I will not be voting on this matter.
Thank you. Any further?
So, technical question, then. Does that mean that it has to be a 3-0 vote to be approved?
It reduces the quorum.
I don't think it reduces the quorum.
So based on the quorum reduction rule, we would just need 2 out of the 3 for it to pass.
Because it is. Thank you. Okay, Ms. Ferris.
Really briefly, the Board of Supervisors introduced the ordinance at their October 17th, 2019 meeting. This is the second reading of the ordinance. There have been no changes since the introduction. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Any questions of Ms. Ferris? Any public comment on this item? Mr. French? Yeah.
Mr. French, Carson City, Nevada. Denny French, Carson City, Nevada. Super Bagwell and supervisors. I had stated before that I'm not comfortable with certain aspects of the development there. My concern now is when I was looking and considering after a new addition to the airport's planning commission or board of consideration there, I'm not sure their title, that their plans were to make some changes and that any of those changes would affect this RV park quite greatly as far as the sound, the noise, the difference, not just the neighborhood that's existing. So my concerns are that with those developmental considerations that we're sort of crowding ourselves out of possibilities for the airport by developing up around that area. And as much as I'd rather not see certain development, I'd rather see it done with consideration of the master plans for the airport. And I don't think that, from my understanding, that some of that's been considered, and perhaps my considerations are because of my lack of information in direct. And so I will conclude. Thank you. Is that the right way?
Yes, thank you, Mr. French. I will just let you know that on the original map and design work on this, it did go before the airport authority, and they had a lot of discussion and input. So thank you very much for your comments. I just thought it was important that you recognize that some changes were made based on the airport authority's recommendations.
That's when I haven't been able to follow what they're up to. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome, Mr. French. And Mr. Yu?
You know, when I get back on the record, Madam Mayor Pro Tem, I think I messed up on my math earlier in response to that technical question from Supervisor Bonkowski. Because the mayor is absent today, and that's not an abstention. That does not trigger the quorum reduction rule, but because we do have an abstention from Supervisor Giomi, that their quorum is reduced by 1, so we still need 3 out of the 4 votes.
Because the mayor is an absent.
Right, including the absence of the mayor. So thank you for that, and I apologize for my math error.
Okay. Any further public comment? Okay, I'll accept a motion.
I move to adopt Bill number 109 on second reading, ordinance number 2019-11, and to approve and authorize the mayor to execute the minute order.
I'll second for discussion.
There's a motion and a second to approve Bill number 109 on second reading and an ordinance 2019-11. And on discussion, Mr. Barrett.
Thank you, Madam Mayor Pro Tem. I appreciate Mr. French's discussion up here. I am the member from the Board of Supervisors who sits on the Airport Authority. It has been thoroughly discussed. I'm going to vote for this, though I have the trepidation, not regarding our master plan and the development itself, but the location always bothers me near airports, however it happens all over the nation. You know, if an airplane comes down, it comes down, and I will be saddened by that, as will we all. But it is what it is. I'll vote for it with that trepidation.
Any further discussion? Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
And we have one abstention. So we have three yeses and one abstention. So the motion carries. Okay, we're on item 16A, which is a discussion and possible action on a second reading on an ordinance relating to the recording fees. I'm assuming Mr. Johnson's on his way.
Good morning, Ben Johnson, Deputy District Attorney for the record. Yes, this is the second reading of the proposed ordinance to increase the recording fees by $6, and this fee is discussed at the last meeting would go towards legal services for abused and neglected children. Currently, the city doesn't impose any fee for this, so the request is to impose the full amount allowable by the legislature. There were no changes between readings. And I don't believe, Aubrey can correct me if I'm wrong, that we got any additional comments from the public.
Are there any questions?
We did not receive any.
Any public comment on this item? Okay, accept a motion.
I move to adopt Bill number 110 on second reading, ordinance number 2019-R12.
Do we get a second? I'll second the motion. Okay. Is there discussion on the item?
Yes, I voted no on this on the first reading because I don't believe that there's a nexus between the recording of documents and the purpose to which the money will be put to use. I don't debate the need for the service, but I just don't see the nexus.
Okay. Is there further discussion? Mr. Barrett?
Thank you. I'm going to discuss it. I will vote for it, but I'm just going to be the usual wag I am and ask us if we should put this out to a vote of the people in 2 years. Forget that.
Thank you. So just on discussion, we did talk about it last time, but for the benefit of the public listening, I concur with Supervisor Bonkowski that I don't necessarily see the nexus. However, there was a considerable legislative discussion to determine what fee was going to be utilized to accomplish this goal. And I certainly don't have the benefit of that wisdom, but it is the vehicle that they have granted the local government to collect a fee to fund the service. And they usually never give us the vehicle to fund a service. They just make us do something and mandate. So in this case, I'm going to vote yes. So.
Madam Chairman and Mayor Pro Tem, I agree with you. I'm going to give the legislature high marks for once.
Yeah. Okay. Any further discussion? Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say no. So we have three yes and one no, so the motion carries. Thank you. Okay. We are now going to go into what is considered a closed-door conference with our council. So I would ask all of those not related to this action to please leave, and we will open the doors just as soon as we have completed our conference with our council. Thank you so very much.
back.
Okay. I'm going to go ahead and bring the Board of Supervisors meeting back to order. We are on item 17A, which is discussion and possible action regarding a proposed settlement agreement in the amount of $1,250,000. Who's going to take us through this agenda item? Mr. Woodbury, please.
Thank you, Supervisor. Thank you, Supervisor Bagwell. For the record, Jason Woodbury, Carson City District Attorney. In 2018, two lawsuits were filed in the United States District Court in Reno, naming Carson City as a defendant. The substance of the litigation concerned allegations that four children had been inappropriately touched in a sexual manner by a 15-year-old program volunteer during the summer of 2016. The children were participants in the summer program known at the time as Camp Carson Summer Camp. The children and the volunteer were assigned to the Wagoneers group. Once the Carson City Parks and Recreation Department became aware of the situation, the volunteer was immediately terminated and restricted from accessing the summer program, any participants, or any facilities of the Parks and Recreation Department. Because the volunteer was a juvenile, any law enforcement investigation or delinquency proceedings that may have occurred are confidential under Nevada law and cannot be publicly disclosed unless court ordered. Carson City engaged the law firm of Robison, Sharp, Sullivan, and Bruce to represent us in these matters. Kent Robison has served as the lead attorney. He is here with us today. Since the lawsuits were filed, there has been extensive discovery and investigation conducted in these cases. All the primary witnesses have been deposed. All significant and material evidence has been reviewed. Mr. Robison and I believe that sufficient information has been developed to make an informed and reliable evaluation of Carson City's exposure to liability and to damages in these cases. We shared that evaluation with the board during the closed session that preceded this item. A settlement conference was conducted among all parties to the lawsuit on November 8th. One of the two lawsuits, involving three children as plaintiffs, was settled for a total of $225,000, with $85,000 allocated to each plaintiff. That settlement has been negotiated between those plaintiffs in that case and Carson City's insurance company. Because all proceeds in that settlement are being paid by the insurance company, that settlement does not involve any action by the board. Before the board today is a proposed settlement of the remaining lawsuit. That lawsuit involves a single plaintiff. However, the claims in that case categorically differ from the other case, both in terms of the nature of the inappropriate touching and the number of occurrences. For these reasons, Carson City's exposure to damages is much greater in this case than the other. At the settlement conference, the plaintiff extended a best and final offer to settle that case for $1.25 million. This offer represents a significant reduction from previous settlement offers, which exceeded $6 million. On November 13th, my office directed Mr. Robison to conditionally accept the offer on Carson City's behalf, subject to approval by this board. This brings me to a statement about insurance coverage. The company that issued Carson City's insurance policies that apply to the claims in these cases has interpreted the policies to establish an overall limit of $1 million for all claims in all cases in this matter. Carson City does not agree with that interpretation. We interpret the policies to establish an overall limit of at least $2 million. We have communicated with the insurance carrier, explained our interpretation, disputed its interpretation, and demanded that it provide coverage of $2 million. At this time, the insurance carrier maintains its position that only $1 million in insurance coverage is available. Based on its interpretation, the insurance carrier has agreed to contribute $745,000 toward the settlement of the case before the board today. That figure is derived from the $1 million limit reduced by the $255,000 utilized to settle the other case. If the settlement offer of $1.25 million is accepted, Carson City must contribute $505,000 to make up the difference between $1.25 million and the $745,000 contributed by the insurance carrier. In exchange for the payment of this amount, all pending litigation will be dismissed, and Carson City will be released from any further liability as to the plaintiffs in these cases. The proposed settlement does not involve a waiver, release, or forbearance of any claim Carson City may have against the insurance carrier in regard to the dispute over coverage applicable to this case. For the reasons discussed during the closed session preceding this item, it is the opinion of Mr. Robison, his firm, and the Carson City District Attorney's Office that acceptance of the proposed settlement is in the best interest of Carson City. Therefore, it is our recommendation that this board approved the proposed settlement.
Thank you, Mr. Woodbury. Is there any questions from the board? Is there any public comment on this item? Okay, I'll accept a motion.
I move to authorize the city manager to enter into the settlement agreement on behalf of the city as proposed and authorize council to proceed with all necessary action to finalize the agreement.
Second. I have a motion and a second to authorize the city manager to enter into the settlement agreement and to proceed with all necessary action to finalize this settlement. Is there any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carried. Thank you. We're going to now move on to agenda item 17B, which is discussion and possible action regarding a proposed settlement agreement in the amount of $57,500. And who's going to take us through this one? Ms. Paulson?
Yes. So this is a proposed settlement in the amount of $57,500 for a personal injury claim for injuries sustained from a dog bite by a sheriff's office canine during a Citizens Academy in March of 2017. The city had offered $31,500. The plaintiff's last settlement demand was $70,000. And during the mediation, we came to an agreement to meet in the middle at the $57,500 plus one half share of the mediator fees. And the sheriff is here too if there's any questions for him.
Does the board have any questions on the matter? Is there any public comment on this item? Seeing none, I'll accept a motion.
I move to authorize the city manager to enter into the settlement agreement on behalf of the city as proposed and authorized. And authorize council to proceed with all necessary action to finalize the settlement.
I have a motion and a second to authorize the city manager to enter into a settlement agreement on behalf of the city and to proceed with all necessary action to finalize the settlement. Is there any discussion on the item? Yeah. Supervisor Bonkowski?
Just for a clarification, so the total settlement amount is $58,137.50.
Including the half mediation. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carried. Thank you. Okay, we'll move on to agenda item 17C, which is discussion and possible action regarding a proposed copyright license agreement between Carson City and the Stewart Indian School Cultural Center and Museum. Ms. Paulson.
So the 2019 Carson City Historical Buildings Ornament depicts the Stewart Cultural Center and museum. Carson City owns the copyright to the ornament design, and the Stewart Indian School Cultural Center and Museum has requested to use the design as a logo. And this agreement would go until December 31st, 2025, with, I think, 1 year options after that.
Mm-hmm. Is there any questions? Is there any public comment? I will just for the sake, just so that everyone can see why the Stewart Indian School really wanted the ornament. They called and said they just couldn't come up with the design any better. So I did bring an ornament so that you could all see what they're actually going to be putting on their letterhead t-shirts and things of that nature because it's supposed to open this year. So, yeah, it's coming right up. So, anyway, pretty proud of the ornament that we put together, and so were they. So, okay, any further public comment? Okay, I'll accept a motion. A motion by Stacy and second by Brad. All those in favor say aye.
I didn't verbalize the motion.
Oh, it says so.
You want me to verbalize it?
Well, it came up here.
Just it came up here.
Pushing the button.
So. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, go ahead. I didn't verbalize it.
Go ahead. Put on the record, please.
I move to approve the licensing agreement.
Second. I have a motion and a second. So the computer tells me by Supervisor Giomi and a second by Mr. Bonkowski. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion carried. Thank you. It's never ahead of us. This time it was, huh? Okay, we're going to move on to agenda item is 18, which is our non-action items, future agenda items. Do we have anything?
Nothing from me.
Nothing? Anybody on the board have anything under this? Mr. Bonkowski?
Yes, Stacy and I were at the Carson Water Subconservancy meeting last night. And the water year starts October 1st. Yesterday was the first measurable precipitation in the water year. It's actually the second driest water year ever through November 20th. If we'd have gone one more week, we would have set the record for the driest first 2 months in the water year on record. But fortunately, now we're getting some moisture, and there's a bigger storm coming in next week that should last 4 or 5 days. So hopefully we're now back on track, and our landscaping will all be grateful.
Great. Thank you. And then I just want to remind the public and invite everyone on December 10th at 1 p.m. We'll be dedicating the marker for Felice Cohen to commemorate the 19th Amendment and our 100-year anniversary of the women's right to vote. So just as a reminder, come join us on December 10th at 1 o'clock in front of the legislative building.
Yeah.
Mr. Giomi?
Yeah. Oh, go ahead.
I just wanted to report on CTA, Convention Tourism Authority. We had our meeting this week. We are moving down the path of redesign of our website and rebranding of the strategic pillars. And we've invested quite a bit of money in photography and videography. In fact, there was a post on Facebook from one of the pictures. So I'm going to have, when it's done, which we should be done in either December or January, I'm going to have Nancy, with your permission, to come to a board meeting and just give a quick show of where CTA is and how they're promoting and branding Carson. We spent about almost all of this year doing quantitative research on where our markets are in terms of tourism, you know, who our target audience is, and working to focus on those things and getting responses from people who come here as to why they come here. So we're promoting the things that are already bringing people here and then trying to increase those numbers by capitalizing on the things that are bringing them here. So some of the photography is amazing, and the pictures are great, and CTA owns them. So If we have a need, I suppose we could come up with some kind of an agreement similar to this, maybe, if we needed to use them. But some great photography, and all the pictures are from Carson City. There's nothing stock. So the Lake Tahoe pictures are all from Carson City at Lake Tahoe. So they're really good. I'm excited about it.
All right.
Thank you. Last night was the Airport Authority meeting, and I just want to let you know we're working on a capital budget, just getting started on that, and everything's going fine.
It's coming off. Recess until 1 p.m. when we'll come back for item 19A. That was a time-specific agenda item, so we're in recess till 1 o'clock. Thank you. Okay, I'm going to bring the Board of Supervisors back to order, and we're going to continue with item 19A, which is for possible action and discussion, filling of an appointment for one member of the Library Board of Trustees that will expire in June 2020 because it's filling a vacant seat that occurred. So I believe we have Mr. Zimmerman. Hello.
Hi, how are you all?
Wonderful. Thank you so much for coming.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
I will say that my voice is not as what it usually is because I had a cervical disectomy and a fusion a little more than 2 weeks ago, so I'm still hoarse.
Thank you so much for coming and expressing interest in this position.
You're welcome.
So our process is we'll just go around and have each of us ask you a question, and then we can just have a dialogue about the position. So I'll start with, why don't you tell us why you want the job and what specific knowledge, skills, or abilities you think you bring to the position?
Thank you. Since I've lived in Carson City for 25 years, I've been using the library consistently. I fit the demographic of the senior now that is the most common user of the library in checking out books. So I'm a fan of the library, and when I saw that they had the master planning process, I participated in that earlier this year and got to learn a lot more about the library and the functions and the staff and so forth and so on. And so recently retired, I thought as a volunteer, it would be a good fit for me. I did work in the undergraduate library at the university I went to for 3.5 years. So I know a lot about the library functions on a, you know, kind of a routine basis. And what was the second part of the question?
And what specific knowledge, skills, and abilities you think you can bring position?
Aside from having an interest in the library, I also volunteered to be provide a technical support outside the board. So I have an application in for that, and I've talked to one of the staff members about that, but haven't heard anything back yet on that. So my skill set is I basically have been a manager of people for the last 20 plus years, supervising technical people doing technical work in consulting. And so I have a broad understanding of how teams work, and I assume the Board of Trustees works as a team. And I've led teams, I've been a member of teams, and understood what the goals and objectives of the library are through the master planning process for the next 5 years, I feel I can help out a lot in support of those, achieving those goals and objectives.
Wonderful. Thank you. Sure. Mr. Barrett, you have a question?
I do. Thank you. I'm a big reader myself, so I ask people sometimes to name the recent fiction and a recent nonfiction, or your favorite fiction and nonfiction book that you've...
Well, sure. In terms of the fiction side, I'm a fan of the certain authors that are mostly detective and or legal and detective books, so that takes care of that. On the technical side, I read books about... I'm a geologist. I still read books about the Earth, and I keep up with the latest in Earth sciences and related, ecological and environmental issues.
Thank you,
Mr. Giomi. Do you have a question?
Certainly. Thank you for applying. It sounds like you have reviewed the strategic plan, so that's kind of the first part of my question. Obviously, if you were part of it, you must have read it.
Well, yeah, I spent a lot of time wordsmithing it with the rest of the group.
Yeah. So how will you go about ensuring the library staff and the board works toward accomplishment of those goals in the strategic plan?
Well, it's my understanding from the looking at the job application online initially that one of the primary objectives of being a trustee is to help the new, well, in this case, we have a new director achieve his objectives. So I assume those are aligned with the strategic plan closely at this point, but I don't know for sure. But as a board member, it is my understanding that we would help the director achieve those goals that have been set out in the that are mutually agreed upon, that are set out in the plan that are appear to be achievable given the budget. This is not a budgetary plan, so it's a plan that has some lofty goals and certainly achievable, but I don't know how the strategic planning and the business planning have linked up for at least the next year or the next 5 years, and that would be something that I assume we would support, the progress of in achieving those goals.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Bronkowski.
Hey, Charles.
Hi.
My question for you is, give me your personal thoughts on digital content versus hard copy materials, the pros and cons of each, how you would prioritize funding for each, and which you think is the most important?
Well, my personal preference is to hold a hard copy book in my hand. I do have a couple of Kindles, and I use them for trips and such, but I like holding a hard copy book in my hand. So that's my personal preference. In terms of what the patrons of the library might want, I believe that when I'm in there, I happen to see more people checking out books than checking out digital material. Of course, if you have my wife, for example, she only reads on a Kindle. So you do that from your home computer and you can access all the books. So I don't know what the, from the surveying that was done in support of the plan, I don't know what the percentage is, but I think there's probably they're of equal importance to the patrons of the library that would want to have access to both and quick access. I mean, I think that's one of the benefits that we have in this library is that most everything is available within a few weeks if you're on a hold list. So I believe that it's they're of equal importance, and I wouldn't have any predisposition towards one or the other. If that's what the intent of your question was.
And does that include funding?
Oh, funding? Well, given the space limitations we have with this library, and, there are books that are no longer on the shelf, and they're in a repository somewhere in the system somewhere else. And so, you have to wait for those to come in. But I assume that funding of electronic materials electronic materials are less expensive than hard copy materials. And so maybe there's a benefit to obtaining many more e-books, so to speak, than hard copy books. And that, if that's what the strategy is, I can understand that. And I don't know, I don't know much about funding for the library in terms of how it gets resourced. I assume most of it comes from you all in the city, and then making the decision where to put it is a joint effort in response to, continually surveying what the patrons want. Sure.
Thank you. Do you have anything further you'd like to talk with us about?
Well, I look forward to hearing a positive result from my visit here, but I understand you've probably got 5 good candidates sitting waiting to hear. So I hope I can help the library, and that's really why I'm here.
Thank you so very much for your time and a speedy recovery.
No, it's getting better.
Getting there? Okay. Thank you again so much for applying. And you're welcome to stay if you'd like, since you've already done your testimony, but you don't have to.
I think you've probably got good candidates, all of us. Yeah. So, thank you very much.
Good afternoon. How are you? Are you Nina Satley?
Yes.
Great. If you can press the button and then let go so it stays green around the rim. Unless, you'd already left it on. Sorry. And then state your name for the record. And
Nina Satley.
Okay. Thank you so much for applying for the position today. We really appreciate your time. The process is we'll each ask you a question or so and then give you another opportunity to make a statement, and then we'll go on to the next set of interviewees, and at the end we'll select the candidate.
Okay. Thank you.
So my question is, why do you want the position, and what knowledge, skills, and abilities do you bring to the position?
Well, I retired as a teacher last year, the end of the school year last year. So I'm looking for a way to be involved on a continuing basis with kids and adults. My elderly mother lives with me, and we probably get 20 library books every other week because she doesn't get out much. And to me, it's just so, so important that the library is available to everybody. You know, it doesn't matter how old you are or what your economic status is or gender, anything. It's just there and able to use. And I love being a part of something that's inclusive for everybody. Being a teacher, I have experience working with elementary mostly, with teaching. Fourth grade was where I spent my time. That does include lots of the language arts and reading and all of those kinds of things. I've also been a teacher of adults. I'm a stained glass artist as well, and that is something, the creativity and the things that go along with that, I think are important in any job, problem-solving kinds of skills.
Thank you so much. Mr. Barrett?
Yes, could you name for me one fiction book and one nonfiction book you've read either recently or that's a favorite of yours from all your reading?
Okay. I read so much.
that's why it's a hard question.
It is a hard question. Borg. What's his first name?
Todd.
Yeah. He wrote the Tahoe series. Mm-hmm. And I love mysteries. And when I had a friend come into town, I have only lived here about 6 years, so there's a lot of things in this area that I haven't done yet. And a friend came in. She had 4 free nights up at a place at Tahoe. So we went up there and spent 4 days and did all the touristy things. And then I discovered the Tahoe books. And it was like, oh, I know exactly what he's talking about. And it was just so exciting to read those.
So do you hang out at the Red Hut too?
No. But we did go there for ice cream. nonfiction. I've been real interested lately in F. Scott Fitzgerald. And I've really been reading about him and his wife, Zelda. I can't tell you the name of the books. I've read several of them. And I've actually started reading some of his writings, too, just because I'm curious. And I realized that I'm a little lacking in the historical kinds of novels. So I've started going back and reading some of the ones that either I read when I was in my teens and have forgotten, or just have heard about and am interested in reading.
Thank you.
Wonderful. Mr. Giomi?
Good afternoon, Nina. Thanks for applying.
Welcome.
Are you aware that the library has a strategic plan, and have you reviewed that?
I was not aware of that, no.
Okay. They do have a strategic plan.
Good.
developed it with the assistance of UNR and a lot of input from the community. If you're on the Board of Trustees, how will you go about ensuring or monitoring the progress of achieving the goals in the strategic plan by the Board of Trustees and the library staff?
Well, I would assume there are regular meetings for the Board of Directors, keeping that strategic plan in front of us as we do meetings, I think would be very important. And looking ahead to what's coming next year or next month, or planning something that can be going on in the following amount of time. I think if you come to do meetings and talk about issues that are problems, which is fine, you know, you have to address those things, but to always have that plan in front of you, I think is really important.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Bonkowski?
Hey, Nina.
Hi.
My question for you, I'd like to know your personal thoughts on digital content versus hard copy materials, the pros and cons, how you would prioritize funding, and which to you is the most important.
Wow. Okay. Well, I think they're both important.
That's why I'm the mean one. Hard question.
Okay. Well, for me personally, I like the pages of a book. I do have the digital readers, and I've taken that with me, like on trips and stuff, to read on the plane. But it's just not the same as sticking four or five hard or soft cover books in my bag, my carry-on bag. I think the digital is important because the newer generations are growing up with that, and it's more comfortable to them. But at the same time, I don't want them to lose the paper. You know, maybe eventually we would get to that point, but I hope it doesn't go away completely. Digital is this whole new generation, and I've got kids that are in their 30s, so they've grown up with it, and that's what they know. You know, I was talking one day to a son, and we were talking about the word coyote, and we were discussing, is it coyote or coyote? And so I reached down into the drawer of the desk and pulled out a dictionary, and he says, Mom, are you book? Really? And, of course, he found it faster than I did because he was using his phone. But that's what they know. So if we can get them to read with digital when maybe they wouldn't be willing to pick up a book, I'm all for it. As far as funding goes, I'm guessing, I don't really know, but I would guess that the digital would take more money. But I think it's just as important to have money available for books as they come out, new books being written, maybe old books that should be brought back. You know, sometimes we forget the ones that have been around for a long time. And when I look at the ones on the shelf at the library, you can tell which ones have been there for a long time and which ones haven't. And I think both are important. So funding, I would have a hard time saying at this point without more information, but I think it's worth supporting both.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And again, I want to thank you so much for coming. Do you have any final comments or thoughts you'd like to share with us?
Well, we've gone over pretty much everything. I've got quite a varied background. I was married to a military man, so I've lived in probably five or six different countries. So that kind of information and experience contributes to who I am and how I see things. I enjoy working in groups. I enjoy problem solving. I am a member of session at my church, an elder at my church. So I'm used to that kind of full group where you debate things and you have to come up with something that works for most of the people involved. So I think I can contribute to that very well.
Thank you again so very much for applying. So we'll continue with the interviews with the other candidates, and then we'll make a decision in the end. So you're welcome to stay if you'd like.
Okay.
But you don't have to. So
okay, great.
Thank you
so
much.
Thank you very much, all of you.
Thanks.
Both of them? That's okay. Mm-hmm. Great. Hi, welcome.
Hello.
So if you can state your name for the record, that would be wonderful. Beth Lucas. Oh, so we don't have Serena or Joseph. Okay, thank you. Good afternoon, Ms. Lucas. Thank you so much for coming today and applying for this position. We really appreciate it. The process is we're just going to each of us ask you a question or so and then give you a chance to have a final closing remark, and then we'll interview the remaining candidates and make a choice today. So.
Okay,
thank you again so much. So my question is, why do you want the position, and what knowledge, skills, and abilities do you bring to the position?
I have actually for several years now thought that serving on the board for the library would be the way that I would like to give back to Carson City. I'm a certified public accountant, newly licensed, and one of the foundations of our profession is that we give back to the community. That's kind of where I wanted to go. But I haven't been able to in the past when I've seen positions come open. I've been in school. I've been studying for my licensing exams. I work full-time. I have children. I'm done with school, and I'm done with licensing. And so I feel like this is the right time for me to be able to take this on. I'm new as far as being a board member in a volunteer capacity. I have not really done that before, so I don't bring any experience that way. But I am an accountant. I've been in the field for 7 years. And so I think accountants are really good at critical thinking and problem solving, really good at like kind of fact-checking, not gut-checking things, thinking, does this make sense? We really love puzzles, a lot of us, making things neat and tidy, wrapping things up. So I guess that's always been kind of my skill set. The library, because I just love the library. I've been coming to the Carson City Library since I was a small girl, all the way through. I bring my kids. It's just dear to my heart. I read a lot, and I could never have afforded to purchase all the books that I go through. And even today, I would rather read a paper book than a Kindle book, although I think it's great that you can get Kindle books at the library, and I think that that's important too. I just think that there's very few places that you can go to that have this huge wealth of information and interesting things. You can rent movies, you can use the computers, there's all sorts of clubs and programs, and it's free. And it's free to everybody. There's not very many ways that you're gonna go shopping. You wanna leave the house, you wanna interact, you wanna get out and do something. For me, my fallback has always been the library. So I think I've always ultimately wanted to get involved. And I think now is my time.
Thank you. Mr. Barrett, do you have a question?
Thank you. Yes. It speaks well of you that you didn't say that you're through with your children. It seems like we never get through with that situation. Could you name for me a fiction and a nonfiction book you've either read recently or that you looms large in your mind from long ago when you read it? Each of them, fiction, nonfiction.
Or fiction and nonfiction. You know, the one that stands out to me in nonfiction is probably the Freakonomics book, because I thought that was such an interesting way to approach economics and behavioral economics, and that started, I didn't even realize there were books like that. And so that started me into like a whole series of behavioral economics books and why people make decisions and how people make decisions and greater societal trends and how things are impacted and carry through. And so that, I love that book. I still have it on my shelf. And I'm trying to think of what I've read recently that was nonfiction or fiction that stands out in my head. I tend to rip through them and then I kind of brain dump.
That's fiction.
Especially since I'm not reading accounting texts all the time anymore. I've been reading a lot of nonfiction for a lot of years. I really liked the Nevada Bar series. That one comes to mind. She's the park ranger, written by a former park ranger. And I always liked that you could learn a little bit about all of our national parks while you were reading them and get a perspective of a bit what that career was like, although kind of dramatic overall. You know, I don't think that there are dead bodies in all our national parks on an ongoing basis, but I have read those, I think, a couple times, starting probably high school and going through. She's stuck with me.
Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Giomi?
Beth, thank you for applying. Mm-hmm. Are you aware that the library has a strategic plan?
I am. I looked at the one earlier today that expires in 2019.
Okay.
Just kind of see.
I don't think they've actually circulated there widely, but...
But they will.
Anyway, it's on the website. Mm-hmm. But so you are aware.
Mm-hmm.
So as far as that strategic plan goes, as a member of the Board of Trustees, what will you do to ensure that you as a board member and the rest of the board and the library staff sort of monitor and follow that strategic plan? What will your approach be to doing that?
I think that that's one of those systematic things. So I know that there are monthly board meetings. I would imagine that a lot of your agenda is going to be checking up on the status of those items. I imagine, like I said, I have not done this before, but I imagine that you get updates from the library staff.
Okay.
Sorry, I get nervous. So I imagine that it's a lot of going back to that. I mean, that's how we handle big projects at work. You go back to your original agenda. You go back to your original plan. How are we doing on this? How do we modify this? Can we make this work, or is this not going to work? Do we need to take a different path with this item, with this objective? How does that lead to these other objectives? I think it's a constant checking in. I mean, that's generally, I believe, how things are approached in business. It's constantly remonitoring, and are we on track? Are we on schedule? How do we change this? That's how we handle things at work. So.
Okay.
But I do expect to learn a lot from the other existing board members.
Okay. Mr. Bonkowski?
Hey, Beth. Hi. No need to be nervous. You're almost done.
Accountant, well, yeah, I don't
get
much.
Only one question left. My question for you, I'd like to know your personal thoughts on digital content versus hard copy materials,
mm-hmm.
The pros and cons of each, in your opinion, how you would prioritize funding, and the last part of my question was, which is the most important to you, but you already know.
I do love paper books, but I also understand that going forward, then that may not be the future. I think they're always going to have a place. I can see that my kids are very plugged in and very technologically aware. I can see it at work, that we, you know, our whole system is kept in the cloud and we're always trying to be at the forefront of using new technology. I think that that is just the reality. So I think it's amazing that you can get audiobooks and Kindle books and everything through the library. I'm not totally up to speed as far as the cost of those versus the paper books and how that's allocated and how that works out, but I know that that's critical. I think there's a whole generation coming up that really just wants digital formats, and we're not going to have anything for them if we don't prioritize that. We do have to keep with the times, but there are also people that want to go in and browse the shelves, like myself, who like to hold a paper book, who like to have the book smell. It doesn't feel the same to lay in bed reading a Kindle, I don't think. So I think that all the mediums really do have their place, but I think that going forward we're going to see more and more digital formats. I think that's just the way it is, and so we need to work with it, and we need to stay at the forefront, or we're not going to capture the public. They're not going to see us as valuable.
Thank you very much.
Thank you again, Beth, for applying, and is there any final comments or anything you'd like to say?
No, I think I'm good. I would really like the opportunity. I know I'm probably a little green, but I feel like I have a lot of years ahead of me, and I've got that time in my life now and that desire to finally be able to do some service for the community. So I'd love the opportunity.
Okay. Yeah, thank you, and you're welcome to stay and listen to the others since you've already completed your interview. At the conclusion of the final one, we'll make a decision here and select someone. So again, you're welcome to stay, but it's not required.
Okay.
And you can stay in this room even if you want. It's your choice.
Thank you.
Thank you again.
Good afternoon. How are you? Great. If you can press the button, either seat is fine, and then just press the button and then release it so that the green around the bottom. Okay. And would you state your name?
Yes, my name's Mary Bianca Blohm, B-L-O-H-M-E.
I guess. Okay. So the process today that we're going to do is each of us will ask you a question or so, and then we'll give you an opportunity for a closing comment, and then we'll continue on with the interviews of the other candidates and then make a selection.
Okay.
Okay. So first I want to start off with thank you so much for applying for the position. It's so vitally important to have the public come forward and wish to volunteer for these positions. So my question is, why do you want the position, and what knowledge, skills, and abilities do you bring to the table?
I currently support the library system by volunteering with Nevada Talking Books. I work for that about 3 hours a week, and I also volunteer for National Talking Books in a different function. Both, each of those doing a different process. I feel the library is very important in the community. As a child growing up, I didn't have a lot of resources. My parents didn't, but I always had the library that was free, safe, clean, and gave me a place to expand my mind and open and learn. So I very strongly believe it should be open and available to all the citizens. And that's why I donate my time.
Thank you. Could you please, for me, name a recent or one that stands out of your mind, a book that you've read in fiction and then also in nonfiction? Either
well, they're kind of the same thing, I think. If you know Michael Branch, he is a Reno, Nevada professor. He writes has written a series of books. So I would say Rants from the Hill. It really is life, but it's kind of a humorist, so it's a nonfiction and a fiction together. So I haven't done any, well, the nonfiction would have to be the Nevada Magazine, because Talking Books also, we do Nevada, you know, publications by the city. So I'm a reviewer, not a reader. I will take and listen to that written and hold it against, hear the audio against the written and note corrections so they can be made by the reader. So I think nonfiction would be probably Nevada Magazine. I think it was a September issue.
Great. Mr. Giomi.
Mary, thank you for applying. Are you aware that the library has a strategic plan? Were you aware of that?
No.
So they do. They worked with a community in University of Nevada, Reno to develop a strategic plan. So as a member of the Board of Trustees, I'm wondering what your strategy will be to hold the staff and the board accountable to carrying out that strategic plan. How will you go about that?
Well, I'm not aware of what authority a trustee member has. I've never been one, but I would suspect if in reviewing the information that's given and the task that was assigned and the accomplishments made, comparing those and seeing if there's anything that fell through the cracks or was or ideas that weren't addressed. I mean, in my mind, the most I can kind of compare this experience to is an HOA meeting. You know, everybody gets together and reviews what's supposed to happen, what happened, and what needs to happen. So not knowing the strategic plan, I'm not sure. I just know that the services are important and reaching everyone is important, all the citizenry.
Thank you so much. Mr. Bonkowski.
Hi, Mary.
Hi.
For my question, I would like your personal thoughts on digital content versus hard copy materials, what you feel the pros and cons are, how you would prioritize funding between the two, and which is most important to you personally.
Working backwards, I do both paperback and I have an e-reader. E-reader is more convenient when you're lying in bed and don't want to have a light. these kids are getting used to using screens all the time. I took my granddaughter for glasses, and the optometrist said we have a special screen that puts for blue, against blue light, damage their eyes. Speaking with my son, who's 34, and he says, I think kids' eyes are going to be damaged by looking at screens all the time. I think there's something innately fun about holding a book in your hand, so I don't know if it's more costly. I would suspect it is, but I'd really advocate keeping paper books, letting people come experience them or have them sent out if possible. I don't know. Do we have a mobile library that goes out to the rural areas?
Not in town.
Okay. But the library system itself does somehow?
Some of the rural areas have
some of the rural have their own. Okay. Again, reaching everybody. So I can't tell you my favorite. I'm sorry, what was the very first one of your questions?
Your thoughts on the pros and cons of each.
Something innate about having a book in your hand and being able to flip back and look again. Did I really say that? Oh, I kind of was zoned out. Let me go back. In a paper book is enjoyable. Also, sometimes books have pictures. I mean, I buy a lot of plants and native identification of things like that. They have pictures. As far as reference things, those are important to be able to have charts or any information. Before computers, and I would get a job when I was young, I'd go and look at the S&P for the company I was going to work for and see what their stats were. You know, having that reference information is important. Digital is, well, that's what I'm doing with Talking Books. It's got to be digital. It's got to get to the audio sense. We produce it. We correct it. We get it out the door so it's available, certainly more widespread. I think it depends on the receiver, the importance of each one. So I couldn't say one's more important than the other. I think they both deserve, you know, the thought about what you're going to do with it.
Great. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
So, Mary, do you have any closing remarks for us?
No.
Okay. So. Again, then, thank you so very much, and you're welcome to stay and listen to the I think we have one more interview, and then we'll make a decision. You're not required to stay, but you're welcome to.
Should I turn this off?
Please. Thank you so very much. Good afternoon. Are you Richard?
Yes, I am.
Great. If you could push the button just once, and it'll stay green around the ring there, and then state your name for the record.
We haven't gotten anywhere, are we? Is it on? Richard Argyle.
Good afternoon, Richard, and thank you so very much for applying for this position. It's so necessary for the public to volunteer, and so we really appreciate you taking your time and wanting to help us with this position. The process is we'll each ask a question of you, and then he is the last interview, okay, and then we'll make a decision on the candidate that we'll select. So I will start with, why do you want the position, and what knowledge, skills, and abilities do you bring to the table?
My wife and I moved to Carson City 2.5 years ago, and I've been looking for an opportunity to volunteer in this city. We love Carson City, and this happened to be a position that I saw in the Nevada Appeal that speaks to my strengths. My wife started writing about 30 years ago. And as such, I started getting interested in the book business. And I subsequently got a job at Crown Books. And I worked there at three locations in Southern California. And when Crown Books went out of business, I went and worked for Walden Books and subsequently ended up at Borders Books and Music at the Block in Orange. And Subsequently, my wife has continued being a published author, and so I've been constantly interested in the whole process of how people find and discover and read and absorb books and how it affects people.
Thank you much. Mr. Barrett, you have a question?
Thank you, Richard. I'd appreciate it if you would name one fiction and one nonfiction book that either you've read recently or that sticks out in your mind from all of your reading over time.
The most influential nonfiction book I read was by Jared Diamond. It was called Guns, Germs, and Steel. It dealt with how the evolution of society was dictated by the geography of the area, and that South America and North America had very little opportunity to develop as much as Europe did because of the influences of domestication of animals and grains that came across from Asia could spread rapidly across Europe because it was a horizontal transfer into the same climate zone, as opposed to North America, where there was a limitation on how far maize could go. And there was also a limitation on the amount of domestication of animals. That was my nonfiction book. Fiction book, the last book I've been reading was Bernard Cornwell's book, which my wife got from the library, which was Warrior King, which is a fictionalized version of King Arthur, not King Arthur, the Warrior Arthur in British mythology, and dealt with 6th century Britain and the fighting internally in Britain between the Saxons, the Brits, and the Irish.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Mr. Giumi?
Richard, thank you for applying. Are you aware that the library has a strategic plan? Were you aware of that?
No, I wasn't.
Okay. Well, I do. And so as a member of the Board of Trustees, I'd like to know how you'll go about the process of monitoring the progress of that strategic plan as it relates to the board's performance and to the staff's performance.
One of my last positions at Borders Books and Music, I was the community relations coordinator. And my job was full-time, and my job was to find methods of getting people to come into the bookstore, which is the same process that the library has of getting people to come in the door and experience the library. I was required by my company to provide 30-plus events every month. And I did that for 3 years, and I have to tell you that I found it extraordinarily difficult. No matter how well the programs were, I thought I'd be brilliant at it, and frankly, it was a harder task than I imagined. And I discovered in that process that the biggest problem that libraries, publishers, and bookstores face is to get the 95% of the population that doesn't come in ever in that side their doors to even venture inside the library, as they find it intimidating to them if they're not a natural reader or if they haven't read that much. And so I will support any plan that the librarians, the director of the library has, and I heard him speak the other day about this, that the library has to become a meeting place for people to go and explore and develop their intellect. And the biggest problem is to get people to come in the door in the first place. No matter how well crafted the programs are, it's hard to reach the extra people. And my only conclusion I've come to in the years that I did this is that in reality, you have to ride the wave of public interest in a subject. You can't generate it, you have to just take advantage of it. An example that I had when I was working at Brentano's, Princess Diana died. And of course, we had no knowledge of this, and so there was no books on that subject. Within 6 months, we probably had 90 books out on that subject. Then you have something like J.K. Rowling came along, and that was enormously influential in bringing people into the bookstores. And the last thing I dealt with, which I had very little knowledge about, was Pokemon, which stunned me, but I ran a Pokemon League in Orange. And again, nothing to do specifically with reading or bringing children in, But I was impressed by how much knowledge they had internally of how the game was played. I had no idea. I've played chess, I've played poker, I've played bridge. I had no idea how these children understand the complexity of this. And that's why I came to the conclusion that you just have to reach out into society and say, what is driving society and how can the library take advantage of those trends in society to bring people in?
Great, thank you. Mr. Bonkowski?
Hey, Richard.
Thank you.
My question for you is, I would like your personal thoughts on digital content versus hard copy materials, the pros and cons in your opinion, how you would prioritize funding between the two, and which is the most important to you personally.
My wife's experience of this is that my wife gets daily updates from Penguin Putnam in New York as to how her books are selling. And on the fiction side, two-thirds of her book sales are still physical books, and only one-third is digital. Now, this is fiction, so it's not an area that lends itself to digitalization except for the benefit of using it on readers. I find the book to be personally and very effective product in itself. It doesn't require batteries. It doesn't require to be plugged in. It doesn't require to be downloaded. It's there, and if you accidentally destroy it, you're not destroying your entire library of those things. On the digital side of things, I find the problem is that my big disappointment with the internet is the fact that there's no editorial capability that distinguishes from the inaccurate, the untruthful, and the truth. And that anybody that engages in a search on the internet is as likely to come across untruths as truths. I thought that the internet would destroy the flat earth society, but it has not. And the thing is, my wife has an editor in New York. When you used to write a letter to the Nevada Appeal or any newspaper, the letters that came in were edited. The problem with the internet, be it music, film, or YouTube, or anything else like this, is that it is unedited. And unsophisticated people that get unedited material can easily draw the wrong conclusions. So I think it's very valuable to have, but I think that part of the process of a library is to encourage people to discern in themselves as to what is valuable in the information that they're getting. I think the problem with young people is that they can just take anything off the internet and to use the term, consider it gospel. Does that help?
So again, I want to thank you so very much for applying. And then do you have any final comments you'd like to share?
Only that I think that Carson City is at a very interesting decade ahead of it. I see enormous growth for Carson City and this area. And I think that the library has to grow and develop with the fact that this is the state capital and an important part of Nevada. And I look forward to being able to contribute to that.
Thank you so very much.
Again. You're welcome.
Sir, did you just want to double check that none of the other three candidates were out there? You may stay.
Okay.
Thanks. We're good? Okay, then we'll bring it back up here for discussion. Wow. We had some excellent candidates today. Does anyone want to go first with their...
Go first.
Okay, Brad.
First, I'd like to say we don't have any bad choices. Like, we can pick any one of the five, and we're going to have a good choice. Charlie and Beth get brownie points because they were aware of and have reviewed the master plan, strategic plan for the library. Richard is especially intriguing to me. And at the end of the day, I'm all for putting all five names in a hat and drawing one. Like it's that close. It's that close.
But you can have all of us, right? Or no, that was the other gentleman.
So per my scoring system, I have Charlie number one. But frankly, we can't go wrong here. So at the, you know, at the pleasure of the board, I'm ready to vote for any one of the five of you.
I'll go. I'm like Brad. I am continually impressed at our citizens who come out to fill these roles and the quality of people we have in our community. Very much like Brad, I scored people very close, but I had Beth as the highest on my list. I thought she was particularly engaging and enthusiastic. And I like the fact that she is a user of our library from the time she was a kid to the time she had kids. I really like that aspect. So my vote would be for Beth.
Well, I hate to sound like the third one to say, wow, what a crop, but, you know, you guys are all great. And I would also love to put you all on, or maybe with Brad's idea of pulling a name out of a hat. But my scoring system put Richard and Beth at the top. Unfortunately, they tied. So I'll just go with whomever we can get three or four people to go with, but those would be the two that I'm favoring. So we've got two for Beth. And Richard, Richard, I'm really intrigued by your accent. Where'd you bring that from?
Nottingham, England.
Ah, I thought maybe it was England. Okay.
Ooh. Wow. I
looks like she's in control.
I'm like, uh-oh. I think what was unique that I want to state is I thought each of you would fill a different skill set that is necessary for the library. And that's why, for me, the decision is so hard, is because you each bring a different element to the table. And so more for me, the question becomes, which one is filling the role that we need at this moment? And that's a difficult, if that makes sense, what I'm trying to say is, what skill do I need the most on the library board at this moment in time? Because just like everyone has said, each and every one of you can fill a role on the library. And then I can't help myself of thinking of other positions that we have in the city and other roles. And I thought, woo, I'd like a couple of them for a couple other boards while I'm at it. So I'm really torn between Richard, because I think he brings a skill set that does not currently exist on the board. And so if I say it, that's why I kind of lean towards Richard, and I really enjoyed thinking that Beth would bring something, but I think the last person that we selected for the board kind of fits that same skill set that you would bring. And so I'm looking for well-roundedness on the board, so I tend to lean towards Richard. But I could, so I like Richard and Beth. And I liked Charles, and I liked Mary. No, anyway.
I liked you. It's kind of...
Does anybody want to make a motion?
Haha, we'll put you in the hot seat, John.
I'll do it. I'll make a motion. I move to appoint Beth Lucas to fill a partial term expiring June of 2020.
Second.
I
have a motion and a second to appoint Beth Lucas to fill a partial term expiring in June 2020. Any discussion? None?
Yes. Again, I just want to reiterate, we don't have a bad choice here. And just so you all know, I've never recommended putting everybody's name in a hat and pulling one out before. In 7 years, that's the first time that actually you all interviewed so well that would be my preferred method of choosing, because there just isn't enough of a differential between any of you to, you know, nobody stood out. Everybody did a great job. So if you don't get chosen today, come back.
Commentary on that. Brad's both serious and humorous on that. He really means it. But at the same time, it is the first time he's done that.
Further discussion? Okay. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay. Motion carried. Beth, welcome to the library board. Thank you. And again, thank each and every one of you for applying. And we know we're going to see you again. Okay. Uh-huh. Okay. So we will move on to final public comment. Is there any final public comment? You're kind of the only person in the room, Denny, so thank you for a good day. If there's no objection then, we will adjourn. Right? We're good. We're adjourned. Thank you all for a good day.